In the name of Jesus, amen. You are of and have value. And you might say, well, of course I have value. Got value to my family members, whether you're married or you got children or you're a son or a daughter, you're like, I've got value. I've got value in my workplace if you work, and if you're retired, you're like, well, I got value to other people in my life. And yes, those things are all true. And we think, well, I've got value because, you know, I've got money in the bank, or I live in a house and I drive a car. Those things all give me value, and that's true. But that's not why you have value with God. God's kingdom, things work different. We know all about the kingdoms of men. We know the kingdoms of men involve control and power and money, and that's how we tend to measure value. God's kingdom is not like that. Jesus has to tell us how it is in God's kingdom, because it's way, way different than the kingdoms of men. God's kingdom is about saving people. In Matthew chapter 13, we are given seven parables where Jesus tells us what the kingdom of God is like. Two of those parables, Jesus actually explains for us, the parable of the sower and the seed and the parable of the weeds. But then there's five parables where Jesus just tells us this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a mustard seed, starts out small, gets big. It's like yeast, just need a little bit, makes the dough rise. It's like a man who finds a treasure in a field, and then he sells everything he has so he can buy that field, have that treasure. It's like a man looking for a fine pearl. He finds one, sells all he has, buys that pearl. And then the last parable, it's like a fishing net. Throws out a net to catch fish, catches all kinds of fish, and then sorts through them. Sermon's going to be about those two parables, about a man finding treasure in a field and about a man finding the treasure of a pearl. In both those parables, the man sells everything he has to buy the treasure, to buy the field, to buy the pearl. You would never do that. No sensible person. You would never sell everything you have to buy one thing. You would never do that. Your financial advisor would tell you that's bad. It's putting all your eggs in one basket. Don't want to do that. So this is not a parable about how we have to give up everything to follow Jesus. That's going the wrong direction. This is a parable about God giving everything up to find the treasure, to find the pearl. And that treasure, that pearl, is you. It's you. And you might think to yourself, oh, you know, I'm okay, but I'm not that great a treasure. You're right, you're not. And that's why it's grace. And it's amazing. And that's why it's amazing grace. And it's amazing that God gave up everything, even his own son, that he could have you as his treasure. He could have you as his pearl. Even the angels and demons are amazed at how much God gave up, that he could have sinful people for his treasure. And that's why Christians at every age, at every stage, value life. Life has value because God gives it value from the moment of conception until death. All along, that anywhere on that spectrum, whether you're an unborn child, or you're a little kid, or you're an adult, or you're a senior citizen in a nursing home with dementia that doesn't know your name, your life has value because God gives it value. God says, you are my treasured possession. The devil doesn't want us to think that way. And the devil tries to subvert our thinking at a lot of different steps. And I'm going to give you one example of that this morning. The devil cannot attack Jesus because Jesus has defeated the devil. Jesus died, rose again, conquered the devil. So the devil goes after those who are made in the image of God. And that would be human beings. That'd be people. And one of the ways he goes at them is right at the beginning, at the start. The most common teaching about how people got to be here is the theory of evolution. It's often taught as fact. It's often taught as fact in our schools. It's a theory. It's not just taught in American schools. It's taught around the world. In fact, a lot of people, this is the only thing they've heard about how people came to be here. This idea that at some point, millions of years ago, there was a big bang, there was an explosion, and poof, you know, life developed, and one thing led to another, to another, to another, to another, to another, and gradually all things evolved, and so that people ended up being here. If that were true, that would mean that people are all accidents, that we are just kind of freaks of nature. We're just here by chance, just like a fluke. And if that isn't depressing enough, if you push that a little bit further and think that through, if you are here by accident, then you really don't have a reason to be here. You don't have a purpose. You really are, you might as well just do whatever you want because you're just here by accident anyhow. And it gets very, very dark and depressing. But that's not true. Such is not the case. God the Father Almighty created the heavens and the earth, and He created and sustains all things, and He made you. And He made you who you are. 100 years ago, you weren't here. None of us were here. Old number 3 was here. We had a service out there earlier this morning that I was here, but this church wasn't here 100 years ago. And the world was going along fine without you. God wanted there to be a you. And so, before your mother even knew she was with child, God knew. Because He wanted there to be a you, and now there's a you. And you have characteristics, personality traits, likes, dislikes that are completely unique. There's, some like 7 billion people in the world today. Today! And throughout the history of the world and the world yet to come, there has never been, nor will there be, any person exactly like you. That's just kind of blows your mind when you think about that. And God could have had the world without you. But He's like, nope, I want there to be a you. And so here you are. That establishes value. And that marvelous good news is found throughout the word of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. But now here's where we have some questions. I think there it's a good question. If I am of such a treasure to God, then why does He let bad things happen to me? Maybe it's not true. Maybe He doesn't love me. Maybe He doesn't love me as I thought as much as he says He does. Well, remember, God is our Heavenly Father. And if He's our Heavenly Father, that makes us His children. He sees and knows all. Do children ever question why their parents do certain things, even when the parents are acting lovingly and responsibly? Yes. Because kids see it from a kid's perspective. They don't see it from the parent's perspective. Parent looks at it way differently. So our gracious Heavenly Father reminds us. We heard that passage from Romans 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So does that mean that God is working out His plan for you and for all who believe in Him, even when bad things happen? Yes. Yes. And you might ask how. I don't see it. I don't see it either. But God does. But God does. And that's why Jesus is Lord. And that's why we follow Him. I'm going to read these words from Romans 8 again because it's so well put. It's good for us to hear. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. More than conquerors in all things, through Him who loved us. And the greatest experience that you'll have of that is when you're in your grave, and you might have been there for a while, and maybe your body has turned to dust. And God will show us how much He values that dust. He'll show you how much He values you, and it'll be a great day. Because He'll raise you from that grave. And He'll say, that's how much He'll value you. That's how much you are worth to me. It's not based on your performance. It's based on what Jesus Christ has done for you and continues to do for you through His Word and through His promise. Thanks be to God for His mercy. In His holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.